The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. You may be seated. The question I ask of you today is, what is church? Truly and really, what do you think when you consider what is church? What does it look like? What does it act like? What does it sound like? We all have kind of a perspective that we have experienced and somehow plant in our hearts and minds to think about what it is when we think about church. Thought of this morning because I'm now 23 years after graduation from seminary. Jen is 6 years after graduation from seminary, and Matt just recently in May, a graduate. And I thought about what it looked like for me when I went off to this holy place in Dubuque, Iowa, and the vision that I had and perception I have about what is church, that is, what is seminary. And I have to confess that before going, I kind of had this vision of people walking around with hooded robes on and walking around silent meditation and prayer. I really didn't know. All I knew was I had a calling from the church that was being discerned, and that the place to adequately discern that more clearly was at this place called the seminary. And I had a whole different perspective about what church is after having experienced those 4 years there at Wartburg Theological Seminary. And I suspect it's the same for true that's for you and you, Matt, as well. Last week, there was a temple talk. And the temple talk was by Ruth Putinen, who is on the social ministry. And she gave a temple talk about the warming center. And I thought, Ruth, what are you doing giving a temple talk about the warming center here as we are approaching the warmth and the heat of the summer? Why would we be talking now about the warming center? It's not going to be in place now for several months. We've had several people who have participated in the warming center over the course of the last year. A lot of people helped out and did some good things. I had a lot of good reports back from people who said that they have felt affirmed in their role in serving on behalf of the warming center, a place where people could come who particularly had no place to go because of a lack of home. And the warming center provides a place of shelter in the winter months. And of course, we know that this past winter was even more challenging and people needed a place to stay. So it was a great thing. But Ruth said she'd learned from the director at the warming center, her name is Tracy, who said that the warming center now, even though it's closed with regards to housing folks over the night, they open the doors in different schedules to care for people in a different way. That is, to provide them with some opportunity of coming for a clean shower, for a shower and an opportunity of bathing themselves, to gaining some dignity there so they don't have to go to public restrooms and wash off in public bathrooms, but rather to open it up and allow them to care for themselves in a real way. So Ruth was extending the invitation to people to volunteer to go to the warming center and take a shift so that people could take advantage of that possibility. Ruth gave her a little presentation and talk and invitation, and then she sat down. We didn't know this until the following Monday, but we later learned that over in this piano side where they commonly sit is a little four-year-old. Her name is Gracie. Many of you have seen her and know her. And she looked at her mom, and she says to Dana, she said, "What was she talking about?" And here's her question, or at least her statement. That does not sound like church. Already at 4 years of age, she kind of had a vision of what she expected when she thought about church. Maybe it's in the Sunday school lessons that she hears about as she comes to Sunday school. Maybe it's in worship when she hears the songs or the prayers. Or maybe it's in conversation with her family that they talk about with church. But with regards to the warming center, she had a hard time putting the pieces together. And so she said, "Mom, what does that have to do with church? How, that doesn't sound like church." What do you envision when you think about church? And how is it that your understanding and interpretation of the vision of the church, does it narrow us? Or does it expand us in our vision for what God is doing among us? I had opportunity of visiting the place of employment for one of our daughters-in-law. And she's a manager of a team of pharmacists. So she gives supervision for them and kind of works with a team of people that are caring for people through their prescriptions and such. And in her office, there's a large whiteboard that's in the wall. And I inquired about the whiteboard. I said, what's this? And she says, well, that's the place where I write down my ideas. And I can kind of dump things out of my head that I'm thinking about. And I can envision and I can dream and think about those things that are on the wall. And so there's different tasks and different ideas and things that are kind of placed around on this whiteboard, and then there's lines that are drawn around as to how they intersect and connect. And I thought that was a pretty creative way of holding that all together in a kind of a visual way. There's a number of people who've been gathered at the church recently that have been studying a book called Growing Young. And this group has studied the chapters in this book over the past several weeks, and now have just concluded their study and wanted to know what can we do now to continue the conversation about faith life for the congregation. And what does it mean for us to shape ministry in a way that helps to connect the work of the fellowship ministry, the social ministry, the worship ministry, all the different ministries, the financial and worship and stewardship ministry, how do they all interconnect? And what does it mean in response to to the faith that stirs within me. So the council has approved a task force, Faith Formation Task Force, that can help us kind of visualize together and to dream about the vision and future ministry possibilities that are going on and how we can connect them and how we can integrate them more fully into our vision for the future and the life of the church. How are we as this congregation, how are we an extension of the church beyond this place? As Pastor Jen mentioned in the announcements, on Wednesday night, we will be a real extension of that church as different people representing the conference of the synod by the bishop's presence, and now extending that forward into a new ministry in Minnesota, and how that's all interconnected and related to the work of Christ and the work of God's Spirit, the stirring and active and alive among us. We sometimes think that this interconnection is somehow disconnected from the life of the whole. But I'd like to think that we are more interconnected and we are more integrated than we'd like to believe. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus is confronted early in this third chapter of Mark already about his work of expanding the message about God's love and grace for the world. And so, Jesus is casting out demons. Jesus is healing people. And people are beginning to flock around him because there's something resonating that's different than they otherwise had heard before. The leaders of the church at the time, the scribes and Pharisees, were quite upset by Jesus and his following. And he was doing things that were kind of out of the norm. He was doing things that didn't look like church. And so they said, we think he's out of his mind. We think he's actually a ruler of the demons himself. So that's when Jesus says, well, how can Satan cast out demon and a house divided against itself cannot stand? Jesus is saying that he is the revelation of God's grace and mercy and God's Spirit that's active and that is at work. And how can that go against itself? As the crowds were gathered together, we learned early in this section of the text today that Jesus' family members were there. Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters were gathered around. So we see, in Mark's gospel at least, we see that Jesus had a connection of family that's otherwise not described more clearly in the gospel passages, but we get a sample of that in Mark's gospel. And right immediately following this parable that Jesus says, the crowds begin to say, your mother and your brothers are here and they're asking for you. So in other words, they were sent because they thought Jesus was losing it. Jesus, you are going a bit out of the norm. You are kind of, we want to caution you. And we want to make sure that you know what you're doing. But when they asked about that, Jesus looks around at those who are gathered there around him. And he asks the question to those who told him about his mothers and brothers and sisters. He said, who are my sisters and my brothers and my mother? Those of you who do the will of God, they are my mother and my brothers. Those of you who do the will of God. I think for a long time, when we heard this passage, at least I did, when I heard this passage, I thought, well, gee, Jesus, you're kind of disqualifying your family. So he's dismissing them in my earlier interpretation of that. He's saying, my mother and my brothers are here. I really don't care. I care more about these people that are sitting here. But if you look at the passage, what it really is saying in the ministry that Jesus is doing, what he's truly saying is, I care for these people that are gathered here doing the will of God just the same way that I care for those that I love most dearly, my closest family. And in that way, Jesus is expanding the opportunities for identity of who we are as members of the body of Christ. It's a broadening of a vision, a broadening of identity. Following the confession and forgiveness this morning, the words were declared to us as that forgiveness was affirmed for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you hear the language? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? We are. As we strive to do God's will for our families, for our congregation, for our community, and for the world. In the waters of baptism, we are given an identity. We are made members of the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters alive because of God's creative spirit at work within us. What does church look like? What does church act like? What does church sound like? I later learned that little Gracie, after she'd gone home, she began to draw little hearts and little phrases about Jesus on pieces of paper. And she says to her mom, after she understood a little more clearly about what's going on at the warming center, she says, I want to go there. I want to go to see this and to give these people these pieces of paper. Kid you not, this is, and I asked Dana, this is okay to share the story. And so Dana was asking me, what do I do? And I said, well, you probably should talk to Tracy down at the warming center to find an appropriate time and see what she says. And so she did, and I found out that she's got a tour of the warming center on Tuesday, Dana and her two daughters, Gabby and Gracie, where Gracie's going to take these simple little things, these little expressions of God's love, because she has a passion to make sure that the people who come there know the love of Jesus. Do you think little Gracie knows what it means to be the church? We know what it means to be the church. Sometimes we just kind of complicate it and we fail to follow through and do those simple things that reach out and care for the needs of others and the world that God so loves. What are the opportunities that you have, that God is stirring within you to reach out and care for others, and to be that expression of love and grace for the sake of the world? Jesus loves me, this I know, we get to sing to the newly baptized, for the Bible tells me so. And we have opportunity of extending that love out and beyond these walls, not to hold it and not to keep it in isolation, but to broaden the perspective and to broaden the awareness about just how deep and wide God's love is. Do you want to see what church looks like? Do you want to hear what church sounds like? Wouldn't it be great if you say, watch and see what God is doing as we are instruments and vessels of God's divine grace. Amen.